Not a new instrument, but it's relatively new to cotton. An instrument known as the Favomat from Tex Techno. As soon as, here we go. And I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors on this, Leon Swee, who hasn't thrown me out of his office yet for knocking on his door asking questions, Devon Thibodeau and Jim Rogers. So what is the Favomat? Like I said, it's been around for a while, but it's relatively new to cotton. It's very popular for synthetics. It's a single fiber tester, similar to the Mantis, does a little bit more than the Mantis, ostensibly. It measures tenacity, elongation, linear density, and crimp measurement. And there's basically three components to the Favomat. It's got a constant rate of extension head, similar, basically it's a little miniature Instron, if anyone's familiar with an Instron from materials testing. It's got a vibroscopic measuring head, which performs the linear density measurement or fineness measurement using the vibroscope principle. So basically it's an audio oscillator. And then it has an optical scanning head to measure crimp, which is interesting in cotton. I'm not sure how useful the Favomat's technique is so far, but the synthetic people like it. Here's a little picture of the actual instrument. It's been on a pointer. What we have is basically two components, the Favomat itself and then the robot. And there's a couple different versions of the robot made by Tex Techno. There's the Air robot, which doesn't really work well for short fibers, which cotton falls under. And this is the Robot 2, which is their latest version. Each magazine, you can see a couple of them along here, holds 25 fibers that the operator prepares. The operator prepares them by hand-selecting a fiber using a pair of forceps, which is a tedious operation, applying a 100-milligram little clip to the bottom of the fiber, and then hanging it off these little brass posts, basically. Those 25 fibers mounted in the magazine is put in the robot. This robot, I think, can hold another 25 magazines total. The machine tests faster than any operator can prepare, so we have 4 magazines, and that's good enough. I'm not sure why they have so much capacity. But then this arm of the robot is able to come over, pick up the fibers, and load them into the actual Favomat, which is this unit, which consists of basically a pair of clamps that pre-tension the fiber and perform the actual testing. I'll talk a little later about the clamps because we're having some issues with them. I said this is primarily a synthetic fiber tester, and it works very well for that. Cotton provides some interesting challenges. So single fiber testing. We're going to focus on the fineness. Like I said, it does single fiber strength, it does elongation, it does crimp, but we're just looking at linear density and fineness measurements. So when you do single fiber testing, the big question people keep asking me is, well, how many fibers do we have to test? I'm lucky to work with Leon, who has done a lot of the critical work on the Mantis, and his answer was, I don't know, we did 1,000, we did more, we did less. And Devrin, who said, well, we did 300. So why 300? Because that's what the operators were willing to do. So not a bad answer, but if you look at APHIS, which is sort of the closest thing we have, even though it's because it'll give you some length distributions and some distribution data. You know, you test anywhere from 3 reps of 3,000 fibers to 5 reps of 5,000 fibers to really be getting data which is considered reliable and repeatable. Well, that's 9 to 25,000 fibers. I think if I went in the lab and asked the technicians to load 9,000 fibers, A, they would tell me no, and not very nicely, and B, we'd never finish one sample. The average time for a test, including prep, is about a minute, and that's if you're doing everything right. And we only get about 75 to 80% of our tests actually successfully accomplished. Other question comes in with, what's the appropriate gauge length? Traditionally, the instrument manufacturer recommends 13 millimeter gauge length, which isn't really a problem for synthetics. With cotton, when you look at 13 millimeters in the gauge, and then how much is in the clamp, and how much is on the clip, we express some concern that that's not a whole lot of the cotton fibers necessarily. That's a lot of fibers we're not going to be able to test. So they assured us that 10 millimeters would work. So we decided to try that and ended up exploring both, as you'll see. And then really, how dispersed are the results? Because you're doing single fiber testing, one nice thing is basically you can get the distribution of your data since you're collecting it point by point. And we're also going to look at the sources of error in this work. So the vibroscopic method has been around for a really, really, really long time. There is actually an ASTM standard that covers it. If you're not familiar with it, basically it uses the principle of resonance, which is
every material, every beam, has some sort of natural resonance to it. There's a frequency at which it will naturally vibrate. It's not exactly an ideal case, but you've all seen pictures of the bridges that swing and rock, which isn't really resonance, but kind of is. There's a very simple formula. If you know your pretension, you know the tension you're holding that fiber under, and you know what your gauge length is, and you're able to optically just observe at what point resonance occurs, you have your frequency, then you can calculate your linear density directly.
Well, that's the theory. There's
a few other things that go into it, which is you have to have a gauge length long enough that the fiber is actually able to vibrate freely. If you hold it too short, it's not going to be able to vibrate. If you hold it too long, you're going to have a hard time finding resonance, although you can use math to basically find out which one's your natural frequency, which is what we're looking at. And then what that gauge length is really depends on the stiffness of the fiber. You know, if you think about a steel rod, it doesn't vibrate easily, but a piece of wood vibrates a lot more simply. Well, how stiff is cotton? Well, stiffness is represented by a couple of different formulas. What basically boils down to is Young's modulus and the moment of inertia, which is determined by the cross section. So one of the first assumptions you have to make with the Fathomat and with the fibroscopic principle really is that we have that little square should be a pi, but oh well, square works. We're assuming it's a circular cross section. It's not a great assumption, it's not a horrible assumption, it's a pretty common assumption in fiber testing. And we're also assuming that the modulus and the cross section are uniform. So we're basically modeling this as a solid rod of constant cross section, constant properties, which it's cotton, neither of which is correct. But if it's approximate, it should be there. So what we did when we got this instrument and set it up is we looked around and said, well, what are we going to test on it? We happen to have a couple different sets of the AMS 8x8 cottons for checking our HVI lines. And Leon's done a lot of work with our 8x8s. And so, well, that's a good diverse set of cottons that are very known. The idea is to test all eight cottons. We're going to talk about just the first three of the eight today. I think we're up to the fourth or fifth being finished, but it's slow and tedious. It's taking about a week or more to test each sample when the instrument's working. Instead, we're going to look at two different gauge lengths, 10 and 13 millimeters, and we tested approximately 1,000 fibers for each condition. The reason I say approximately is, well, not all tests work. You get the amount of fiber and it doesn't test, and then a lot of times we got a good result, or what looked like a good result, and we look at the actual data later and go, you know, fiber doesn't usually have a 35% elongation. That's probably one we should throw out. So we had to test about 12 to 13, 1400 fibers to get around 1,000 good tests. We kept the pretension constant at both gauge lengths of 0.5 centinewtons per text, and we kept the crosshead speed constant at 10 millimeters per minute. One of the things Fathomat asks you to do is give it initial linear density so that it knows where to start searching with the audio oscillator. And we've tried a variety of numbers. 1.7 decitex, 170 millitex seems to be a pretty good number. A lot of the old literature uses averages around there. APHIS backs that up as being a good number. We have some other work that we're not going to talk about today that we look what's the effect of changing that number. And well, you don't want to go too high, that's for sure, because the machine can't find the frequency if it starts in the wrong area. Just to show the properties of what we're working with, these three cottons, 38, 37, 36, the first three, the 8x8s, the Micronair 4.05, 4.55, all very uniform, which is why they're used as 8x8 cottons. One of the things we were looking at that we like is the upper half mean length, from 30 millimeters to 28.8. With the 8x8s, number 31 is usually your shortest and 38 your longest. That's why we started on the high side. And I said the gauge length is an area of concern for us. That when you're hand-picking fibers and you need a minimum fiber length, we figured we'll start with the longest ones, give the technician some experience, and then we'll work our way down to the shorter ones, and it gets harder. They've noticed that trick. It's all fairly strong fiber, fairly uniform fiber. Again, we look at APHIS data, and you can see the average fineness from the APHIS was 160 to 177, 178. So that bears that our 1.7 as a starting point should be pretty good. All fairly mature cotton, not much short fiber, which should make this easier for the operators. I've done as much testing as the operator, so they don't hate me too much right now. So the first thing we did, we tested 10 millimeter, because that's manufactured. This will work, promise. All good. So, again, we get elongation from NASTI data. We're just going to focus on linear density data. As I said, we started off at 1.7 as being what our average should be. You saw the APHIS data. Well, we got, for all three, roughly 2.47, 2.43, 2.47. Okay, that's a little higher than what APHIS was saying, but we know there's a length bias to what we're testing as well. And the standard deviations were kind of high. You know, a little concerned, but okay, first shot. So we just had to plot the data. The red line is the finest distribution given by the APHIS probe in the world on these cottons, and the blue line is the distribution of our results from the FavaMat. There's two things about this plot that kind of jumped out at us. One is this second peak, a little unusual, but we were happy. You know, the center of that main first peak is around the center of the distribution for the APHIS. So, okay, good. And you can see that little saddle inflection on the APHIS, which not sure why that exists, but it does. And that matches along with our little inflection on FavaMat. So we thought it was interesting. We were happy, although this resulted in a few phone calls to Clemson to ask Devron if he had a clue. And Leon and I going, I don't know. So we plotted the next one. Little stranger result. We still have that second peak. And we're shifted, the main is shifted a little to the right, a little higher, coarser fiber, which helps explain kind of why our mean was higher than the APHIS. We still see that inflection and we still see that saddle in the APHIS for cotton number 37. We look at 36, neither one has the inflection or saddle, but we still have that second peak. At this point, we're going, okay, no one knows anything about the second peak. Is that right? Well, about 12 to 20% of our data is in that second peak, and that's a little bit of a concern. So I actually called John Folk, who's done some previous work on this, and he looked at like 25 to 50 fibers, and he said, well, I never looked at the distribution. And the means were about right, the standard deviations weren't that high, so we're like, okay, that's different. But it's only 12 to 20% of our data. That's not a huge amount, but it's enough to throw us off. But you do a literature search, and no one's ever seen this trend. Don't think we created something new here. We didn't discover something that's never been discovered. But it helps to explain that large standard deviation, because you have that second peak that contains a large chunk of your data. So look at the engineering side, says, well, is it too short of a gauge length? Is 10 millimeters really just choking that fiber too much to allow it to freely vibrate? And did some other testing to try to prove this as well. And so we said, okay, well, let's go to the 13 millimeters. Well, we went to the 13 millimeters, as you can see with our linear density, we're still higher than what the APHIS was reporting as a mean. However, we are significantly lower than we were before, and our standard deviations are less than half of what they were previously. So, okay, looks better. So let's plot that data. And lo and behold, there is no bimodal distribution. It really is just exactly what you would expect, fairly Gaussian distribution. You can see, though, that we are shifted off of what the APHIS says. There's a slight inflection that does kind of agree with that saddle. Again, as far as why we're measuring higher, you know, could be length bias, could be a variety of issues. Second fiber, again, we see the same thing. At this point, we're very happy there's no second peak. And the third one, again, no second peak. And so, okay, 13 millimeters seems to work. 10 millimeters definitely doesn't. So, like I said, it eliminates the second peak, which is a good thing, reduces the standard deviation significantly, and 10 millimeters basically called the manufacturer and said, hey, you know, that 10 millimeters doesn't really seem to work. The people in North Carolina said, are you sure? Or South Carolina said, are you sure? And the Germans went, yeah, we could have told you that. Always nice when vendors, oh, sure, it should work. So the next big question is, how many observations? Everything I just showed is based on 1,000 fibers. We're looking at over a week of testing for a sample. It's not very possible. So what I did here is basically randomly selected from that 1,000 fibers, 250, 300, and 500 fibers, and repeated that simulation again and again out of that 1,000. And what you're looking at here, each row, this is for fiber 38, for 37, and 36, with the first row in each section being, each row is an average of 10 simulations of randomly selecting 250, 300, or 500 fibers from that 1,000. And what we found is the mean when we just randomly select out of that, the number of observations out of the observation error head, doesn't really change, and the standard deviation doesn't really change. Now, we need a lot more data to back this up, but one thing it does lend promise to is that we probably don't need to do 1,000 or 5,000, or as one climber told me, 10,000 fibers per test to get repeatable results. Again, there's length bias, there's a number of different things, but for the fibers that we are measuring, it looks like 300 fibers, which is what Devron was doing on Mantis years ago, may actually be legitimate. We're continuing on the rest of our fibers on the 8x8s at 1,000 observations each to ensure this. So then we decided, okay, well, what are our sources of error? Because we're still higher than what the APHIS is reading and higher than what some of the literature shows. And so, well, we know this initial linear density value is questionable. I mean, you don't want to do a test. I mean, if you're going to be a test that's supposed to be based on physics, having to do a test before you do a test on a cotton so you can get a value isn't ideal. So do we need to change that assumption to 1.6, 1.5, or lower, or higher? What's that effect going to be? We know that this circular cross-section assumption isn't always applicable, especially when you go to a finer or less mature cotton that tend to be flatter, more flat. Then you have there's an assumed constant value of Young's modulus. We know that this is not necessarily true because nothing about cotton or cotton fiber is uniform. And we can see from the FathomAT's own data, when you look at the strength curves as it breaks a fiber, that the slopes, which is basically how you calculate Young's modulus, are different for the different fibers in the bundle. So that assumption kind of throws us off. And we know that the gauge length is obviously a major problem. 13 millimeters definitely seems to work. The problem with doing 13 millimeters is we've got this fiber length bias, that if you've got 13 millimeters in the gauge, you still have to clamp the fiber, which the weight clip, at best, you need about a millimeter of fiber to hold the clip. If you have it on the very, very edge of the fiber, the clip tends to fall off, then the test will fail, so you tend to choke up a little bit higher, so maybe even 2 millimeters of the fiber length are in that clip. You need about a millimeter at least to attach it to the magazine, then the robot arm needs to be able to grab it, and then finally you actually have to be in the clamp. The clamping area that we're using is a special clamp. There are only 2 millimeter faces on the top and bottom for a total of 4 millimeters total clamping area. The standard clamps are 4 millimeters at the top and 4 millimeters at the bottom for a total of 8 millimeters. Obviously that's going to really hurt us because if you add all this up, we can only test, using these 2 millimeter clamps, a minimum fiber length of 20 to 21 millimeters, which is the longer portion, really, of the bale. We'd like to really be able to look at that shorter portion. Now, these 2 millimeter clamps they gave us, they work, but they're a lot more fragile. The original 4 millimeter clamps, we got about 10,000 fibers tested, no significant damage to the clamps. The 2 millimeter clamps last anywhere from 25 fibers to about 1,000 fibers before they catastrophically fail and testing has to stop. And at a cost of about $380 a pair, we're not paying for the fiber, the clamps right now since they admit there's a problem, but $2 to $3 per fiber observation, which don't think anyone's got that kind of budget. So we really need to address that issue. And we're talking to the manufacturer to address that. And the next work that we're going from here really is to look at what is the finest length relationship, sort of what Eric was talking about, that Clemson has been kind enough to take these 8x8 cottons, perform pseudo-web distributions on them, and we're going to take those different length groups and perform FathomAT on those different length group fibers, which will help to really look at what's the finest distribution within a particular length group of cotton. So like I said, single fiber testing definitely seems to be feasible. Since the Mantis is no longer manufactured, there's only a handful left floating around. Be interesting to have another instrument, and you probably don't need to do these tens of thousands of fiber individual tests that people are afraid we might have to, but more work is definitely needed to establish what are the proper parameters to get repeatable, reliable, accurate data, and really look at the distributions, which, you know, I know Eric's a big fan of, Leon's a fan of, I'm a fan of, with looking at length distributions and other distribution data from APHIS. It really does help to give you an idea of how valid is your data. Because if you don't look at your distributions, something like that bimodal distribution that we saw can throw you off. And it wasn't necessarily obvious, because the first assumption when you see a high standard deviation in cotton is, well, it's cotton. So more work is definitely needed, though, to determine what's the acceptable number of observations. And then finally, like I said, we're in the process of doing that and also looking at more work to examine the issue of what is the length bias from only being able to test 21, 22, 23 millimeter and longer fibers. So definitely like to thank the folks in the materials testing lab in New Orleans, because without them, this work would never get done. And they may all go blind one day, so I may need new technicians, but at the moment, they're good. So thank you very much.